Who is accessibility really for? Accessibility is often framed as something designed for a specific group of people. It is discussed as an add-on, a feature, or a response to a need that sits outside the norm. But that framing raises a question worth examining more closely. Who is accessibility really for? Most people move through the world assuming it was built with them in mind. Doors open easily, information is readable, spaces are navigable, and interactions follow predictable patterns. That sense of ease is rarely noticed. It is simply expected. Accessibility challenges that expectation by exposing how much of that ease is designed, not natural. When something is described as accessible, it is often interpreted as specialized. A ramp is seen as something for wheelchair users. Captions are seen as something for people who are deaf or hard of hearing. Clear signage is seen as a support for those who need extra guidance. In practice, these features extend far beyond the groups they are typically associated with. A ramp is used by someone pushing a stroller, carrying luggage, or recovering from an injury. Captions are used in noisy environments, shared spaces, or when language comprehension varies. Clear signage benefits anyone navigating an unfamiliar place. These examples are not exceptions. They are reminders that accessibility aligns with how people actually live. This is where the conversation becomes more complex. Accessibility is not only about permanent disability. It intersects with temporary conditions, aging, fatigue, injury, language differences, and changing environments. It reflects the reality that ability is not fixed. It shifts over time and context. Despite this, accessibility is still treated as a separate category. It is planned after the fact, budgeted as an extra, or implemented only when required. This approach reinforces the idea that accessibility serves a limited audience. It also leads to inconsistent experiences, where access depends on location, resources, or awareness. There is also an underlying assumption that accessibility requires compromise, that it limits creativity, adds cost, or reduces efficiency. In practice, the opposite is often true. Designing with a broader range of users in mind tends to produce clearer, more intuitive, and more flexible outcomes. It removes friction rather than adding it. The question then shifts from who accessibility is for to why it is not already embedded in everyday design. If accessibility benefits a wide range of people, why is it still treated as optional? Part of the answer lies in how norms are established. Systems are often designed around a narrow definition of the average user. Once those systems are in place, they become difficult to change. Adjustments are made incrementally, rather than rethinking the foundation. Another part of the answer is visibility. When barriers are not experienced directly, they are easy to overlook. Accessibility becomes visible only when something does not work. For those who encounter barriers regularly, it is not an abstract issue. It is part of daily life. Reframing accessibility requires a shift in perspective. It is not about accommodating a minority. It is about recognizing variation as a standard condition. It is about designing for a range of experiences, rather than a single default. This does not mean every barrier can be eliminated. It does mean that fewer barriers need to exist in the first place. It means access is considered early, not retrofitted later. It means asking different questions at the start of a project, rather than fixing problems at the end. Accessibility is often discussed in terms of compliance. Guidelines, standards, and checklists play an important role. They provide structure and accountability, but they do not capture the full picture. Accessibility is also about usability, dignity, and independence. It is about how people experience the world, not just whether they can enter it. Returning to the original question, accessibility is not for a specific group. It is for anyone who expects to move through spaces, access information, and participate without unnecessary barriers, which, in practice, is everyone. The more useful question may be this: what would change if accessibility was treated as a starting point, rather than an afterthought?